it's a joy to be up here. When I came up from Berlin through Hamburg and what is it? Kolding and Esbjerg.
Yeah. I was. Can I touch it?
It's easy, isn't it?
Yeah. Så tak fordi jeg var gammel, og ja, da jeg var på vej herop og kørte fra Berlin og kom op til Kolding.
I was reminded that I really, my family originated from the Danish border. My name is Christian Andresen. I mean, could be more Danish.
Jeg blev mindet om, at min familie den stammer fra her på Danmark. Så mit navn Christian Andresen minder meget om dansk.
And anyway, my wife sends greetings, and she wished she could have come, but right now it's very busy as we prepare for the next years of classes at the EBTC.
Min kone sender mange hilsner, og hun vil gerne have været med her, men der foregår meget i det sætte lige nu med forberedelse til den næste skoleår, så det er ikke muligt.
So when Tom asked me to consider to come up here and said that it would be good to focus on the topic of the church as a church, which is ecclesiology, that's something on my heart. Yeah, you can push it closer actually. It's something on my heart to talk about ecclesiology, and ecclesiology is talking about people.
Yeah, so da jeg blev kristen navn fra heart, der snakker vi om tage det her emne omkring kirken, og hvad kirken er, og det har et fint ord, der hedder
ecclesiology.
And
this is my narrow family. I don't know if you can't see very much, but it's I have four children: Katrina, Stephanie, Elizabeth, and Philip. Marco is our son-in-law, who is to the left. That's him. And we have a grandson who was born a few days after I left last time.
So here are billeder af min familie. We have fire sønner. Fire børn, hedder det.
Yeah.
Stephanie, Elizabeth, Philip og Katrin. Og så Marco, det er fire søn. Og så har vi et barnbarn, som er
god. Gabriel.
Og så efter, han var her sidste
gang. Yeah. Anyway, but I want to look at the topic of the church, the goal I have for our time together is to answer the following questions, the four things. What's the Church of God? What's his responsibility of the congregation and the leadership? What are the fundamental requirements for an active, functioning local church?
Så målet med den her weekend og den tid, vi skal sammen med det her emne omkring hver kirken, og der er tre spørgsmål, som vi forsøger at svare på. Det første er, hvad er Guds kirke? Det andet er, hvad er det ansvar, som menigheden og lederskabet af kirken har? Og hvad er det fundamentale ingredienser eller muligheder for, hvordan en funktionel kirke skal fungere?
I can talk about a lot of theory. But the church I want to talk about is a functioning organism. It's a body that functions.
Så vi kan tale omkring meget omkring teori og teologi og hvad det er. Men det som Christian gerne vil være inde på, kan vi på det er det her, hvad er en organism?
Organisme.
En kirke som vokser eller som fungerer sammen.
And here's interesting, you see a building, this is actually a church being built by friends of mine, but that's not the church. The church are the people outside. Okay.
Her er billeder af en kirke, som er ved at blive bygget af mine venner. Men man kan se, at kirken er ikke selve bygningen, men det er de folk, der går rundt og bygger kirken.
This is a church at work. These are the people who work for the church. That means men like this, who do something at the church, who fellowship together, church life, and you can put it together in a little bit. And it's just the church life are people.
Ja, så de billeder jeg ser, jamen, det er en kirke, som arbejder. Altså at kirken, det er et fællesskab af mennesker, som lever sammen.
And we as a church, and I'm gonna go over two slides here. They are not. This is a. Here I'm trying to talk about the anatomy or the anatomy of the church. What is a church? Who is the head of the church? Who is the power of the church? What is the ministry of the congregation, and what is the ministry of the individual saint? I can get you all these notes, okay? You don't have to. I can get you all the notes in English, so I just give them to you. And I have a lot of notes, but.
So det vi vil kigge på, det er, hvordan er kirken sat sammen, altså hvad er anatomien af kirken? Hvad er kirken, hvad er kirkens hoved, hvad er det for en kraft, der virker i kirken? Hvilke arbejde har forsamlingen, og hvilke arbejder ligger der for den enkelte?
So, what the church is not. It's not an organization made of programs, systems, or methods dedicated to attracting money or members to itself.
Så hvad er en kirke ikke? En kirke er ikke en organisation, som har et program eller et system eller metoder, som er tilegnet til at tiltrække penge eller medlemmer.
It seems to be simple to say that, but the truth is that very often we forget that the church is really, it's something that is a body. In Ephesians 5:30 it says, for we are members of his body. We are members of Christ's body. Ephesians 5:30.
Kirken, det er en organisation med forskellige lemmer, som der står i 1. Korinther
5:30.
Efeserne 5:30. Kirken er Kristi legeme.
And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, but now they are many members, yet but one body. We are many different members, different languages, different backgrounds, different, social backgrounds, but just one body.
So in 1 Corinthians 12, there says Paul that the church is made up of many different members, of different languages, different cultures, different personalities, but we are one body.
Yes, and if you want to open up 1 Corinthians 12, and there are lots of verses which we can go to, but 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25 to 27. 25 to 27. And maybe you read that. To 27,
For at der ikke skal opstå splid i lemmet, men lemmerne være enige og have omsorg for hinanden. Lider en lemmestel, så lider også alle de andre. Lever en lemmestel hellere, så glæder også alle de andre sig. I er Kristi lemme, og hver især hans lemmer.
So, we are part of Christ's body, but we are each individually important.
Vi er en del af Kristi lægeme, men vi er hver især vigtige.
And that is when we talk about the church. We are not talking about a building. We don't talk about an organization.
Så når vi taler om en kirke, så taler vi ikke om en bygning eller om en organisation.
And I can explain it this way. It is a living organism, a body which is has personality, which is alive and breathes and has feeling. And acting And yes, suffering and sorrowing and bleeding and the constant need of healing and restoration, both individually and corporately, the local church and the worldwide church. That's difficult, I'm sorry.
Som er levende og som ånder og som har følelser og som har handlinger, men også som har lidelser og sørger og bløder og som er konstant er behov for helbredelse og genopbygning. Det er både som individer og som en samlet enhed, både som den lokale og som
So, why the emphasis is on the other side, it is the church is not, and I'm going through this fast now, a building, offices, department, programs, a hierarchy of position dedicated to earthly display of self-glorification or purpose of being accepted by the world. The church is not an organization for the world.
Kirken er ikke det at bygge kontorer eller lejligheder eller programmer eller et hierarki eller positioner for at tilpasse sig den verden og selv at prøve sig selv med det formål at blive accepteret af verden. Men det er, kirken er ikke en organisation på den måde.
And the passage I'm thinking about is Ephesians 4 verses 13 to 16.
Der står indtil vi alle når frem til enheden i troen og i erkendelsen af Guds søn, til at være et fuldvoksen menneske, en vækst, der kan rumme Kristi fylde. Der skal vi ikke længere være uforstandige børn og slynges og drives tid og død af hver lærdoms vind, men menneskers terningkast, når de med snedighed fører os på lumske afveje. Men sandheden, tro i kærlighed, skal vi i et og alt vokse op til ham, som er hovedet, Kristus.
Did you do with 16?
No, sorry. Ud fra ham får jeg hele lægemet sammen og holdes sammen, i det hvert enkelt led hjælper til med den styrke, det har fået tilmålt, så lægemet vokser og opbygges i kærligheden.
That passage is full of truth that is so important for us to know.
Det stykke er fuld af sandhed, som det er vigtigt for os at lære dem.
And so what is the church? It is the people living and loving, learning and laboring, leading and following together for the glory of Christ.
Så hvad er en kirke? Det er folk eller mennesker, som lever og elsker og lærer og arbejder og leder og følger efter sammen. Og det hele det er for at ophøje Kristus og for at ære Kristus.
Yeah. It is important why the church exists. It's to glorify Christ.
Yeah. Det er vigtigt at forstå, at grunden til, at kirken eksisterer, det er for at ære Kristus.
I will talk more about it, but the price Christ paid for us is it was so unbelievable high that he has every right to expect that we live for his glory.
Vi kommer mere ind på det senere, men hvis vi ser på den pris, som Kristus har betalt for kirken for os, så har han alt ret til at kræve, at vi lever for at ære ham.
So we are not talking about any institution that is a worldwide force or anything that is try to fulfill personal or social principles. Even so, when we talk about church, very often that's what people think. They think, oh, they help the poor, they help the needy, they have to go on Sunday to church, they sit in offices I mean, at least in Berlin they do it, and decide who uses what building.
Så når vi taler om kirken, så er det ikke en verdensomspændende organisation, som handler om at gøre humanistisk velgørenhed. Eller ofte når vi tænker på kirken, så er det ofte dem, at de hjælper de fattige, og de hjælper de nødlidende, og sidder i bygninger og bestemmer, hvem der skal have, hvad der er hvorfor. Og, så det er ikke det, som kirken består af.
On the other hand, it is, and this is just truth taken out of the word, out of the scriptures. It, the church is an agitating force, a pricking conscience, a sort of opposition, and a stinging salt solution of conviction, with the purpose of causing men and women who are caught up with Satan's world system to be aware of their sin and their need of a savior. Now, this is difficult. Don't need to translate it necessarily, but
I can translate the meaning.
Yeah, do it.
So kirken, det er en kraft, som stikker til vores samvittighed, og som skærer igennem modsætninger med det formål at vise mænd og kvinder, at de er fanget i Satans
Okay, this is the question answer to why are we existing. We want to be an opposition to the world. We want to be.
So det er det svar til hvorfor er vi her som kirke. Det er fordi vi er i opposition til verden.
Jesus came to bring peace, right?
But
not the peace of this world. It was peace for the heart, and that means that he was in opposition to the world.
And det er ikke den fred, som verden ser fred. Det er en fred, som er i hjertet. Altså bliver det en modsætning til hvad verden giver.
And we need to not be afraid that we offend people, when ultimately they can be saved for eternity.
Så vi behøver ikke være bange for, at de kommer til at fornærme folk, når det mål er, at de kan blive frelst for evigt.
When, I don't know, it's probably now 10 years ago when they said that it was the year of peace in the church, where they said we want to create peace. But the peace they wanted to create was built upon the wisdom of the world, not on wisdom of Christ.
For omkring 10 år siden er der meget snak om, at kirken ville lave det her år med fred. Men den fred, som vi snakkede om at skabe, det var en fred, som var baseret på menneskers visdom, ikke på den fred, som Kristus skulle.
Okay. Now the big question is, who is the head of the church? Who is the head of the church? Who has a? It is not the Pope. It's not the cardinals. It's not even a pastor, and it's not a group of men who have a lot of influence.
Huh?
Yeah, and it's not the money or world wisdom. It's not none of this. And actually, we can go to 1 Corinthians, and I just read one passage, in 1 Corinthians 1, or 2. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. 1 Corinthians, I'm just trying to see. In 1 Corinthians 2, and in the whole passage actually, but let's start it on verse 6 and following.
So
You can read it.
Okay. Så visdom taler vi om blandt de fuldkomne, men ikke en visdom, som er denne verden, eller fra denne verdens forgængelige hersker. Hvad vi taler om, er Guds hemmelige visdom, som var skjult, men som Gud allerede før tidernes begyndelse havde bestemt skulle føre os til herlighed. Den visdom har ingen af denne verdens herskere kendt, for havde de kendt den, ville de ikke have korsfæstet herlighedens herre, men som der så skrevet, hvad intet øje har set, og intet øre hørt, og hvad der ikke er opstået i noget menneskers hjerte, det, som Gud har beredt for dem, der elsker ham, det har Gud åbenbart for os ved ånden. Til ånden renser alt, selv Guds dybder. For hvem ved?
Where are you?
11.
Okay, I think that's enough, and then just verse 14.
Et sjældent menneske tager ikke imod det, der kommer fra Guds ånd. Det er en dårskab for sådan et menneske. Det kan ikke falde det, for det bedømmes kun efter åndens målestok.
The whole passage here talks about that the wisdom of man is foolishness to God.
Det hele stykke her taler om, at menneskers visdom er dårskab for Gud.
And therefore the head of the church is definitely not the wisdom of man, and we know it, it's Christ. The head of the church is Christ. He's the true source of all the church, all the church is and does, and his glory is to be the objective of every act and function and motive of the body, both individually and corporately. So, with other words, Christ is our main motive, and that's the head of the church.
Kirkens hoved kan ikke være mennesker. Kirkens hoved, det er Kristus. Han er den sande kilde til hele kirken og hvad den gør. Det er hans ære, som er objektet eller målet med alt det, som sker inden for lægemet. Både som individer og som en samlet kirke. Mm-hmm. Altså hele målet, det er Kristus.
Colossians 1:18 talks about this.
But Colossians 1:18.
You can 1:18.
You see, han er hoved for lægemet, kirken. Han er begyndelsen, den første født af de døde, for at han i alle ting skulle være den første.
Yeah. So just for us to understand, when we talk about the church, we also talk immediately about Christ. And when we talk about Christ, we also talk about that he is the Lord, and he is our Savior, and so on.
So, for at vi kan forstå, så må vi se, at kirken, eller når vi taler om kirken, så taler vi også om Kristus. De to er et. Når vi taler om Kristus, så må vi også tale om hans død, hans opstandelse og hans frelse.
So, and he has also provided his thoughts and his direction for the body in the world. The Bible reflects and contains the mind of Christ. This is therefore basically the rule book or the guiding principles of the church is the Bible.
Så Kristus har også givet os hans tanker og hans vejledning for lægemet, som er i ordet. Og det er igennem Bibelen, at vi ser hans tankegang, og det er der, vi ser hans befalinger og hans vejledning og hans formål for den her tro.
Many passages, Ephesians 1:12, 2 Timothy 3, 16:7, 2 Timothy 2:15. All these verses talk about the centrality of God's word for us.
So there are flere skrifter, som taler omkring det her med, at Kristus er centreret omkring os.
Yeah. And so when we talk about the body, the church, then we talk also about that we want to confirm to the word of God. We want to live according to the word of God.
Så man taler omkring lægemet og omkring ja, den her enhed, som kirken er, så taler vi også, nej, så ønsker vi også, at den skal tilforme sig til Guds ord, og det består af Guds ord.
Oh, the reasoning for the church is to be like Christ and like the Word of God. Okay, so that's the head. But what is the power of the church? It's not influence, not cash, not earthly wisdom, not administrative or public relations. So the power is not what we talk about power usually in the world.
The power. Så hvad er det, der giver kirken sin magt eller sin kraft? Det er ikke den indflydelse, vi har. Det er ikke det pengeflow, som vi har, eller den visdom, som vi har.
Oh.
Så, ja, eller hvor god vi er til at skabe public relations, eller forhold til verden. Det er ikke det, som giver os kraft.
I know that you go right now through X. And so you know that the power of the church is the Holy Spirit who rules and dwells in each believer and as such in the whole body in order to bring Christ forth.
Så det er, at vi som kirke er ved at gå igennem apostlenes gerninger, og det er der, vi ser, at kraften for kirken, det er Helligånden. Og det er igennem Helligåndens rolle, som bor i os, at
let's open Ephesians 1:13.
Den siger, I ham blev også I, da I hørte sandhedens ord, evangeliet om jeres frelse. I ham blev også I, da I kom til tro, besejlet med forjættelsens hellige ånd, som er panten på vores arv, indtil forløsningen kommer fra hans ejendom for det lovpris for hans herlighed.
And Ephesians 5:18 talks about that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, that it's a command really to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
I Ephesians 5:18 der er det en befaling, at vi bliver fyldt med Helligånden. Den siger, at drikke jer ikke beruset i vin, der fører til udskejelser, men lad jer fylde af ånden.
So the power really of the church is in the, it's in the indwelling Holy Spirit, which is informed through the Word of God and by the Word of God. The parallel between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is simultaneously, you could say, when you read the Bible, you fill yourself with the Spirit. Because the Spirit works through the Word of God. Of course, you can't just read, everybody reads the Bible and is not filled by the Holy Spirit. You have to be filled by God's power through His doing, but it works together.
So,
I know
it's Helligåndens kraft, som bor i os, der er kirkens dybeste kraft, og ofte så kan vi sætte lighed imellem Helligånden og imellem Guds ord, fordi vi ved, at når vi læser Guds ord, så kan vi også blive fyldt med Helligånden. Og på den anden side kan vi også sige, at vi kan ikke læse Guds ord uden at have Helligånden.
And through the Holy Spirit, the body can be harmonious and work together and functions together.
Gennem Helligånden, det er der, at lægemet det bliver en enhed, som bliver harmonisk og som kan fungere sammen.
Okay, very simple. A piano, you're going to tune your piano, right? And we talked about this. And you tune it according to a perfect pitch, not after another piano.
Så et eksempel er et klaver. Vi bliver nødt til at stemme et klaver. Men for at vi kan stemme det, så må vi have en stemmegaffel.
Because if you would tune the piano after another piano, after another piano, after another, you have, at the end, a total different tone.
Vi kan ikke stemme et klaver efter et andet klaver. Fordi hvis vi bliver ved med at stemme et klaver efter et andet klaver, efter et andet klaver, efter et andet klaver, så til sidst så ender vi med et klaver, der er fast.
So, what God wants us to tune ourselves into Christ and be filled by the Holy Spirit, to have one tune, and we go all by one rule book.
Så det som Kristus ønsker, jamen, det er at vi bliver stemt til at være lig Kristus, og det kan vi kun, hvis vi hver især stemmer os op imod Guds ord.
And I can't say more about the power of which is so important. It's the Holy Spirit is the divine interpreter of the scripture and enables the believer to see things with the mind of Christ. And we talked about this. If the word and the Holy Spirit together, we reflect and we understand the mind of Christ.
Så Helligånden er også den, der hjælper os med at forstå Guds ord. Det er ham, som er fortolkningen af Guds ord. Og det er, når vi har Guds ord og Helligånden sammen, at vi forstår Kristi tanke.
Mm-hmm. And okay, because that answers the questions we have, how can we be Christ-like?
Det svarer os det spørgsmål, hvordan kan vi være ligesom Kristus?
How can I please God?
Hvordan kan jeg ære Gud?
Well, very simple. Live according to the word of God and listen to the spirit of God.
Det er meget simpelt. Altså, lev som skriften siger og hør hvad ånden siger.
It's maybe a simplistic answer.
Måske et meget simpelt svar.
But that is the answer to the problem and the questions we usually have. How can I do it? Well,
men det er svaret på det spørgsmål, som jeg open it up. Hvordan kan vi leve som Kristus?
My main subject in teaching at the EBTC is biblical counseling.
Mit hovedemne på EBTC er biblisk rådgivning.
And I'm totally convinced that there's no problem on this earth that cannot be answered by the scripture.
Jeg er overbevist om, at der er ikke noget problem i denne verden, som ikke kan besvares ud fra skriften.
Every problem, doesn't matter if it's schizophrenia, depression, if it's suicide, if it's murder, anything can be handled by God's word.
Der er ikke noget problem, om det er schizophreni eller depression eller murder, der er ikke nogen tilstand, som ikke kan håndteres ud fra skriften.
Okay. The only it's now it's a big question. How well is psychology good or is it bad? And what is with you know, how can that be Christian counseling? How can that work together?
Det store spørgsmål er psykologi godt eller skidt? Hvordan kan psykologi fungere sammen med skriften eller sammen med kirken?
Somebody said that psychology has just borrowed the good stuff from the Bible, otherwise they would have no success at all. And there's truth to it. Because if we believe man was created by God, then he has given the solution for man's problem also.
Så må vi også tro på, at Gud han har givet mennesker løsningerne til problemerne.
But I don't want to go into the details because that's a whole different class which I teach in about 200 hours.
Men går ikke i detaljer med det her, fordi det er en helt anden version, som det tager omkring 200 timer på.
Doing 1 year. So.
Så det løber et helt år.
Okay, the power, the goal of every believer should be to allow the Holy Spirit to conform him to the very image of Christ. We want to become little Christs.
Så målet for enhver troende, det må være at lade Helligånden forme os, så vi bliver mere end vi Kristus. Vores ønske, det må være, at vi bliver små Kristusser.
Okay, and then we want to be really changed in such a way that we really have the love of Christ, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the faith, meekness, self-control, that we have the fruit that only spirit-filled Christians can have.
Så vores ønske det er, at vi bliver
that we want to display the fruit that only spirit-filled Christians have.
So was more there the this the fruit that some one giver, as a kindness, frugality, humility, longevity.
That is probably for me. If you want to, if somebody asked me, would ask me, do you know if this person is a Christian? I would have to say I can't look into his heart. But when I don't see the fruit of the Spirit, I would say, I don't think he's a Christian because he doesn't show me the life of a Christ. And that's what should happen. A transformed life should grow in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Remember what Christ said to his disciples when he said, how do they know that you are my disciples? What did he say? What did he say? Yeah, you have love for one another. But now, the question is, what kind of love? Yeah, and that is, I tell you, most of us don't, even as Christians, don't understand the love Christ had for us. Did you ever thought about that, that when Judas betrayed Jesus, that none of the other disciples knew, they did not know.
And also think that when Judas forbade Christus, there were not none of the other disciples who knew that he
was. You know why? Because he loved him. And he knew that he would betray him.
And this that he would forbade him.
He loved the enemy so much that nobody would know that he would be his enemy. How often are we upset with somebody for no good reason? And Jesus said, by the love you have for one another, they know that you are the church.
Jesus said, den kærlighed, I viser til hinanden, det der, I skal kende, eller folk skal kende, at I er kirken.
That, and all money and influence and all that doesn't even matter at that point.
Eller penge, eller indflydelse, eller magt, har ikke noget at gøre med kirken.
Yeah. I just had yesterday a conversation with the daughter of a good friend of mine. And she was a secretary for a Christian organization I know well. And while she was there, the Christian organization broke up and there was fierce fighting. And I said, how are they doing because the organizations went apart? And she said they are suing each other. And I say, don't they read the scripture? It says that, why should you sue each other? Why don't you just give it to them? But the price is too high from their perspective. They think they lose everything. But in reality, they lost it all. Nobody trusts them anymore. I don't even read their letters anymore because I know it.
Nej, ikke nogen, der stoler på dem her. Jeg læser ikke engang deres brev mere, fordi man ved, det ikke er tilværdigt.
Because we have all kinds of worldly standards sometimes to get our rights.
Vi har ofte vores værtslige standarder for at opnå vores rettigheder.
Okay, the question is now, what is the role of the congregation? What is the role of each individual member in the church? And I wrote down here, it's to be submissive, submission, to submit under, or you can also say to be humble.
So here is the underordnet sig.
You find it, Christ, when you see from the top, Christ is the head, then elders, deacons, and deaconess, you can argue about, and then the congregation. But in order to have a functioning church, you have to submit to each other.
Men for at have en kirke, som fungerer, så må vi underordne os hinanden.
And it doesn't mean that somebody is better or has more value.
Det betyder ikke, at der er nogen, der er bedre eller har en større værdi.
But they have different responsibilities in the church.
De har bare forskellige ansvar.
You find the same in the relationship between husband and wife.
Der har det samme forhold imellem.
Children and parents,
and
employer and employees, also people who, bosses and
that's right.
And that the submission aspect is very important in the church.
Det her med at underordne sig, det er meget vigtigt. Yeah.
Very, very important.
Meget vigtigt.
The function of a leader can only occur effectively when the congregation has a mind of submit as if they were submitting to Christ.
Lederskabet i en kirke kan kun fungere effektivt, hvis menigheden har den holdning at underordne sig, som har vi vil underordne sig Kristus.
Leaders make a lot of mistakes. And if there would be, for every mistake, there would be basically losing their position, then there would be no leaders anywhere. Leaders learn to get beaten up.
It's,
the order of rule is established so as to guarantee unity and practice of and doctrine. So when you have the leadership gives order, and we have that everywhere in the world, really.
So leadership is set to guarantee that there is this discipline or leadership. So if you see a leader in a church, then all the hell.
And there are lots of good scriptures. Hebrews 13, 7 and 17 is a sample of it. 13, Hebrews 13, 13, and verse 7 and 17. 7 and 17. Plus.
Så vers 7 siger, tænk på jeres ledere, som har talt Guds ord til jer. Betragt udfaldet af deres livsløb og efterlign deres tro. Vers 17. Adlyd jeres ledere og ret jer efter dem, for de våger over jeres sjæle, da de ved, at de skal stå til regnskab. Lad dem kun gøre dem glade og ikke med suk, for det ville være ulykkeligt for jer.
Both of the verses are really helpful because they are written to the church, not to the elders.
So both of these verses are very helpful because they are written to the community, not to the elders.
The church should serve the leaders.
Community or the church should observe the leaders.
And observe and obey. And the leaders are not supposed to say, look, you have to obey me. I have seen that many times, and that's absolutely wrong. The people obey because they see the example of leading. Yeah. Another verse is Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. First Thessalonians. 12 and 13.
Brødre, vi beder jer om at skønne på dem, der slider blandt jer og står i spidsen for jer i Herren og vejleder jer. Dem skal I omfatte med særlig kærlighed på grund af deres arbejde. Hold fred med hinanden.
And 13, right?
Ja.
Okay. These are just some verses. There are lots of other ones which could be mentioned. First Peter, Philippians, and Romans, and First Corinthians, and First Timothy. All of them talk about the importance of leadership, and I will talk more about that later.
There are many other scriptures in Romans, Corinthians, and First Peter, who talk about this with leadership's role, and that we come back
to later. I'm not even an elder in my church. But the reasoning is not necessarily a biblical one. The reason is I don't speak Russian. Because it's a Russian-German church and I couldn't care for the Russian needs. And I am frequently gone because of the school. But nevertheless, we constantly talk about leadership, and I'm actually training the next eldership. And for our conviction is that there is no effort too big to train the next generation of leaders. Okay, let me put it in perspective. We study 19 to 20 years to have a high diploma after university to be an engineer or something.
So we læser omkring 19 to 20 år for at få et diplom eller certifikat for at være ingeniør.
And I don't know if you know, but to go to college costs the government about $25,000 or euros about per year.
Det at sende en studerende i skole eller på universitet, det koster omkring 25.000 euros.
And that's still cheap. It goes up to 50,000 euros a year. The higher the position. But the industry and the government thinks it's necessary to do that because we want to have the most qualified people. But the church has no view of supporting men to be trained and take them out of work to give them time to train and study the Bible, the most important tool we have in this earth. We are sending just my son-in-law, who happens to be one of my employees. And we estimate we pay probably $40,000 to $50,000 a year to have him trained.
Yeah.
But my whole team, and these are 10 men, say that we have to do it. And the next ones after him are already waiting to get the same. I mean, we always have one or two people who we train for the future, because I know 10, 20 years, I'm gone. And my son-in-law is an incredible businessman. But that is not as important as being a good preacher, teacher, and counselor.
Men det er ikke lige så vigtigt som det at være en god lærer eller en god rådgiver eller en god elever.
Yeah. So that's why I'm starting to urge the churches in Germany to start investing into their people, not into their buildings.
Så jeg begyndt på at tilskynde kirkerne i Tyskland til at investere mere i de folk de har end det de investerer i deres bygninger.
I give you just an example. There are many Russian-German churches with between 300 to 1,000 people.
Vi har en masse tysk-russiske kirker, som har omkring eller mellem 300 til 1,000 medlemmer.
And they have beautiful church buildings with everything you can imagine.
De har de skønneste kirkebygninger med alt hvad du kan forestille dig.
But they come to us and say, "We have no leadership. Can you help me?"
Men de kommer til os og siger, vi har ingen lederskab, kan I hjælpe os?
I just told Ola that our pastor is going to a church 300 kilometers away because all the elders had to step back of a church of 400 people who have not trained the next generation of leaders.
Jeg snakker med Ola om en kirke, hvor alle de ældste, de må tage til en anden kirke, som lå 300 kilometer væk, fordi at hele ældstegruppen måtte træde tilbage, fordi de ikke havde trænet den næste generation.
And so the leadership is important in order that they can help all the rest of the church to grow and to become witnesses of Christ.
Så lederskabet er vigtigt, fordi det er dem, der skal være med til at få resten af menigheden til at vokse og til at være mere lig Kristus.
Why the church was so dynamic in the beginning was because they had gifted men building up the saints, who in turn exercised their spiritual ministries through the body. Because everybody did what they were supposed to do, it worked.
Så grunden til at den første kirke den var så dynamisk, det var fordi de havde mænd som havde gaver til at opbygge kristne sådan at men hver som var med i menigheden, de gjorde det som de skulle gøre, og derfor fungerede det.
Every time we read about Paul, he's never alone.
Hver gang vi læser om Paulus, så han aldrig alene.
He's always men around him.
Han har altid nogle mænd omkring sig.
And when you read the letter to the Hebrews, he said, you know, why are you still drinking milk when you should be eating meat?
Når vi læser i brevet til Hebræerne, så siger forfatteren, hvorfor drikker I mælk, når I skulle have fast føde eller spise kød?
And he said because you did not learn, you were not trained, and you can't distinguish between good and evil.
Jo, fordi I ikke lærte, I blev ikke trænet i det her med at kende forskel på godt og ondt.
If we don't train our church, our saints, the philosophies of this world will destroy the church for sure.
Hvis vi ikke træner i vores menighed, så vil denne verdens filosofi ødelægge kirken.
Because every letter in the New Testament seems to warn about that. We read that we should not be tossed back and forth by all winds of doctrine.
Så alle brevene i Bibelen, eller det nye testamente, advarer os omkring det her. Vi læste, at vi skal ikke lade os drive hed og død af denne verdens lærskaber.
So a functioning church is alive and is doing all kinds of things, and I have something what we did. It sounds funny, but we use this thing to for the kids, yes, but we had 20 young people who we trained and they gave Bible messages and everything else. So we used some children's function to train young people for the ministry.
So we had a børnedag eller børneaktivitet, hvor vi havde 20 unge mennesker, som blev trænet i at give ord videre, til børnene og selv blev trænet i det at lære ord.
Last week we were at the city square, which was a city fest, and all the young people from our church came to talk to the people about Christ.
So, the last weekend, there were we met on a street tour in Berlin, where all the young men said they were men with for have the opportunity to talk with people about God.
I think there were about 50 people from the young people everywhere talking to people.
There were about 50 young men who all the time had samtaler med andre folk.
And next day there was a former drug addict coming to the church because someone talked to him.
Næste dag, der var der en tidligere narkoman, som kom til kirken, fordi der var en, der havde snakket med ham.
And we'll see, we have always a few people come to our church after that.
Det er normalt, at vi ser, at der kommer nogle stykker efter en.
Okay, the church is really, well, what you can say a training ground to train up people for the ministry. It's like the leaders are like coaches. The leaders are like soccer coaches.
So I can see at kirken, det er en træningsgrund for medlemmerne i kirken, og lederskabet, det er dem, som er trænere sammen med en fodboldstræner.
Yeah, and somebody's, yeah, actually everybody on Sunday morning should be coming with the expectation, what can I do? Not what do I get?
Yeah. Sunday morning, så skal vi alle sammen komme med den formål, hvad kan jeg give, ikke hvad kan jeg få ud af det?
It should be like ants running around everywhere and saying, oh, what can I do? What can I pick up? What can I help you with?
Yes, they look to the ants. Det burde være ligesom myrer, som løber rundt over det hele og siger, hvad kan jeg hjælpe med, hvad kan jeg gøre for dig, og
yeah.
Meget aktivitet.
So this is what I wanted to come up for tonight, but I'm open for question and many discussions, if you want to.
Så det her, det var det budskab, jeg havde til jer i aften, men vi har tid til at spørgsmål, hvis der er nogen, eller diskussioner, som
Maybe just to help you, the church is an extended family. We are all, I mean, I'm part of the church universally, but you are, as a local church, you are part of a big family, and you should care for each other like you would care for your children or your brothers and sisters.
Mm. Så jeg kan sige, at kirken, det er en udvidet familie. Så jeg er en del af kirken på, eller familien på et overordnet niveau, et bredere niveau, men som en lokal forsamling, der burde vi sørge for hinanden, som man gør i en familie.
We had just last Monday we had a prayer meeting with other church leaders.
Just a man that had a prayer meeting with some other church
leaders. And we said that the church in Jerusalem and in in, where was it? In, nicht Tarsus, in, anyway, the churches helped each other. The church from Macedonian,
yeah.
They sent money to Jerusalem church with Paul, and the Corinthians were asked to take a collection for Jerusalem. And you heard about the Jerusalem Council, where they were talking about theological things which were important. A meeting, yeah.
And
the leaders came from all different churches out of that area to discuss some very important matter about the truth of the Bible. What I want to say is that there's no local church is alone. We are together with one another as brothers and sisters to help and support each other. Yeah, but it's always based upon God's word, and we, for instance, had just a situation. You can maybe say that. And I will mention something I had yesterday. We had a situation where we had to go to another church to confront the leadership, because they say that they are a church, and we are very questioning if they are not becoming more and more a cult. Why? Because they are moving away from grace to traditions, really Jewish traditions, back to Jewish traditions. But we did it in love. We didn't say, but we also have to ask them, do you really believe that? Because we need to tell our people in our church, be careful. If they believe that, that's not what the Bible is teaching. But the main thing about a church is that we are, it's a body, it's a family, it's an organism, it's a life, and it's not a building. So you can meet also outside in the garden. Yeah. Okay, any questions?
Some questions.